Tonight I want to take a look at Micah, the book of the prophet Micah. Micah in Micah chapter 6, starting at verse number 6, it reads, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God?" Let us pray. Precious Lord, we're grateful. Such a privilege, such an honor, such a wonderful thing, Father God, to acknowledge the goodness of our God, to share in his word and his fellowship, Lord, and the love of our Savior Jesus Christ, to participate in his service, Lord God, such a great privilege. And we pray, dear God, that as your word goes forth, Lord, that we will be strengthened, edified, and encouraged to continue in the faith. Bless us, Lord God, in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Redeeming the time. Now, I did this for my invitation on Wednesday night, and I just, you know, decided to put some more thought into that idea, because it's a consistent thing in my life throughout my days and my experience with other people. Lately, it seems that just about every conversation I have revolves around how quickly time is passing by. Brother Randy even mentioned this morning one of the many gifts that God gives us is the gift of time. And that time that God has given us was given to us for a purpose. So the question is, are we redeeming the time that God has given us? From our text and other passages, we will be examining what the scriptures reveal about time and how we are to make the most of what little time that we have. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 5. Starting at verse number 15, it reads, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And I believe that our text plainly and clearly lays that out. And anybody who lives on this earth is a witness, specifically those that are older. But it doesn't really matter your age. Time is fleeting. And it's so amazing because it seems like the closer, as each day goes by, time seems to be just passing by. James tells us in James chapter 4, in James chapter 4, James tells us, starting at verse number 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Redeem the time. We know when we've established that there's very little time left. We can see the condition of our world. We can see that we are getting closer and closer to the return of Christ with every waking moment. We understand these things, and we want to see these things as the Lord's church in light of eternity. See, if we have an eternal perspective, we understand what it is we are to do to occupy our time. And it's simply what I just read. Do the will of God. He has shown you, oh man, what it is that the Lord requires of you. To do justly. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Take a look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39, starting at verse number 4, reads this. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadth, and my age is nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute. I did not open my mouth because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I'm consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebuke you correct man for iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor. And any of us who have served the Lord for any significant amount of time, and the Bible talks about the futility of life, specifically what we've been studying in Ecclesiastes, busying ourselves and living and storing up treasures and doing all of the things that we do on a daily basis. And at the end, apart from God, they are futile. So the priority, and again, there's nothing wrong with living. Obviously, we live and enjoy life. God created us for such things. Solomon tells us that is it a gift of God to enjoy the fruit of our labor. But as we have been studying, we know he's talking in the context of living for God. There is no peace, no joy for the wicked. Those that pursue things that are not of God. Pursue sin, pursue unrighteousness, and every falsehood. This will only end in destruction. But God has, through his word, gotten a hold of us, and he teaches us to understand that we were made for eternity. We were made to walk and talk with the Lord throughout eternity. And we were given this time to prepare for that reality. So think about that. Consider your days, our days, as the people of God. What are we doing to redeem the time? We know, as Paul says, the days are evil. Progressively evil. And it's not going to get better. The world is on a downward spiral. Haters of God and evil men are rising up. And they're only being raised up in order to face their own judgment. But we rise in the righteousness of our God. And we can set our hearts and our minds towards eternity as we look to Jesus. He has shown you to do justly. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 17 reads, "Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow." And this is where we want to make a distinction. Now we can live clean and moral lives. I know a lot of people that are extremely moral. They do good things and they're honest and upright and hardworking and they have all of these good qualities, but they don't know God. We certainly as Christians don't want to fall into this category. Because everything that I study in the scriptures about righteousness has to do with the way that we treat other people. The way that we minister to those around us. Righteousness has everything to do with the way that we love and the way that we share God's love. The love that God has shed abroad in our hearts. That everlasting love that he has had for us from all of eternity. And that he drew us with according to the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord came to me of old saying, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn you to myself." Are we drawing men to God through loving kindness? Are we looking beyond the surface of people's behavior and going after their hearts? Demonstrating the love and the patience and the compassion of our God who had compassion on us. Who left the glories of heaven to come down and live a life. Subject himself to every facet of the human experience that he might redeem us, that he might relate to us, that he might walk with us and we might walk with him. His sole purpose was coming was to demonstrate his love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Redeeming the time. Doing justly. What's the right thing to do in the sight of God? To love your neighbor as yourself. The number one commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Love him with everything. And once that love is established, you go and you share that love with those around us. And it's not about whether people are deserving. That's irrelevant because none of us are. Again, God so loved the world. And whosoever. And how do we know whether people will embrace God if we're not willing to share Christ with them? And I had to learn that lesson for myself. tendency to judge people from on the outside. And as somebody, as a student of the scripture and growing in my understanding of Christ, I can't let that be a hindrance. I have to go forth in the love of God and share what I know about my Savior, my Redeemer, the one who saved me from my sins, the one who delivered me in each and every moment from my sinful ways and habits, the one who shows his love to me on a daily, on a moment-by-moment basis. Every day that we get is a demonstration of God's love for us. I can testify to that, and I'm sure some of you can. So, it is our duty. It is the very reason that God has given us this time to demonstrate his love, to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and share with all those that are willing to listen. And of course, you're going to have people to reject you. And that, again, that becomes another hindrance. But an understanding of the scripture, an understanding of your purpose, those hindrances really start to go by the wayside. Because people are not necessarily rejecting you as you're demonstrating God's love, but they're rejecting him. And we ought to consider it a privilege to be associated with him. Just like disciples in Acts chapter 5, they were preaching and proclaiming Christ. And the people that got together and they said, you can't preach in that name. And they beat them within even an inch of their lives. And what did they do? They got up, dusted themselves off, and went away. They didn't walk away all down and sad. But they went away rejoicing, probably singing hymns and praising God. And it says this in the scripture, it says, they rejoice to be counted worthy of that beating for Christ's sake. This is the life of a disciple. It's not likely that people are going to try to beat us up for sharing Christ. They might talk about us. We may lose friends or lose jobs. But again, he has shown you, O man, and what does he require of you? He created you and established you and showed you his love, that you might demonstrate that love to those around you. Love, mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, now the purpose of the command is love. From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And how do you know? And the biggest tale of sincere faith is your love, your compassion, and your desire for people to know God. If that zeal is not being produced in you, then you want to plant yourself in the scriptures until it does. Because that's who you are. That's what defines you as the Lord's church. And if it doesn't, you have to question who you are. But the thing is, you have the answers in front of you. This is the mirror. And this is the very thing that identifies us and strengthens us and gives us the power and the ability and the capacity to stand in the love of our God. We know His love. And we know Him. His love, as I stated earlier, it's everlasting. It's pure, it's holy, it's right, and it is all consuming. It will consume every hindrance and every evil thing and desire in your heart. And I know this from personal experience. I know how my heart can be led astray. I know how weak and feeble I can be. But I look up and I see my Savior waiting with open arms to embrace me. And I seek to reflect that, waiting with open arms to embrace those that would know Him. And I don't care whether we agree or disagree or whatever kind of opinions that we share that are contrary. If you are willing to know God, we can work those things out. So we get into the scriptures and we show God's love. And not just in the scriptures, but through the way that we live. Our patience, our compassion, our generosity, our friendliness, our joy, our peace. Everything that the Spirit produces in us through the Word, it's there. When the Bible talks about grieving the Spirit, don't hinder the work of the Spirit. Let Him work in you that you might see the glory of one being saved as a result of your testimony. One heart being snatched from the pit of hell. One soul, rather. Because you love God enough to share His love. Is it difficult? Yes. Will you always get the results? No. But again, doesn't matter. We move forward. We look up. And again, we have eternity in front of us because we are redeeming the time. Walking humbly with our God. And I try to emphasize that it is about the Spirit of God because none of this can we do on our own. And this is why the Bible tells us in Proverbs to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. It's not your wisdom. It's not your ability. It's Him. It's His love. It's His will. Well, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. He's making you holy for the purpose of making others holy through your life and testimony. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 55. Verse number 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says in another place that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit. Let the Spirit of God invade your hearts through the word. Seek to be a loving, compassionate person. Because then your morality does you no good if you have no compassion and no desire to see other men saved. You're just a moral sinner. But when the love of Christ enters your heart, you want men to know your God. You want to see God working in the hearts of men. You want to pray and intercede on behalf of others more and more. And I see it, and I'm so grateful for it, seeing it in my life. And I don't boast in myself. And I don't talk as one who has attained. But I've seen the love of God and I've seen the difference that he can make in the life of not only myself, but those around me. So I continue on searching the scriptures, looking for Christ, sharing the gospel, the good news that he died for everyone, for those that would accept him, even if for those that would not. But that's a whole another sermon. For those that would not, they are being prepared for judgment. And again, that's between them and their Creator. But for those of us who are being saved, the power of God dwells within us. So we humble ourselves before the Lord, knowing that Jesus tells us clearly in John 15 and verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. The Bible clearly and explicitly admonishes us not to trust or put any confidence in ourselves and our own abilities. Because there's plenty to work with right in this book. To know the power of God. To know his love. To share his love. To see his love. In your everyday experience. Let us hear the conclusion of the matter, Solomon tells us. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. As members of the Lord's church, we acknowledge him as our creator, the one for whom we live and move and have our being. He has given us his precious yet fleeting gift of time in order that we might use it to prepare ourselves for eternity with him. And this is what it means to redeem the time. We know the days are evil, and those who do not redeem the time will be eternally condemned. We must hear and be taught the word of God, according to Jesus in John 6 and 45. Jesus also tells us in Mark chapter 1 to repent and believe the gospel, the word of God, and be willing to confess or acknowledge Christ before men. And in acknowledging Christ, we acknowledge that he commanded us, and part of our salvation, according to Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, to be placed into Christ through baptism. And show ourselves faithful unto death, receiving the crown of life reserved for those that would redeem the time. Time is fleeting. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. If there is any need at this time, please come as we sing the song of invitation. Amen.